Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Isn't that gray alive?
Oh, well, technically it's both alive and not. Also, it's not really here.
Well, I'm looking right at it, so...
On a quantum level, the particles that make up this beholder are in constant flux. Both here and not here. Quantum instability at a molecular level.
Great. So what does that mean?
Not a clue.
Brilliant.
All right, here, I'm going to push play so we can get started. Hey, guys.
What is that noise? I'm hearing a Jesse noise.
That's my...
Is that your tired noise?
Okay.
Are you sleeping already, Jesse?
It's a purr.
Are you already falling asleep? You're purring.
All right, well, so guys...
I'll purr you.
I'll note that the timer...
I'll purr you in my throat. You'll go in my throat and make a noise, or whoever purrs.
I'll shit you out.
Do purrs happen in the throat or the chest?
It's the throat.
Or is it the chest?
It's a throat thing.
I think it's like a circular breathing kind of thing. Anyway, we have started the timer.
Like those Macroon.
A what?
Macroon.
Oh, you mean talking about this episode? Okay, okay.
Whatever. We'll trying to bring it on topic.
Have we started?
Yes,
because the clock is going. So I didn't know that. Well, I'm trying to point it out.
Well, I wasn't paying attention.
So before the clock started, we were talking about naked old men.
Yeah.
Don't worry about why.
Don't even worry about it.
It's not something you need to think about.
Yeah. It's not at all intriguing.
We've already said
it's something that we were thinking about
a lot, but it's no longer a podcast conversation. So in fact, I would recommend that you mind your own business, because this is our conversation.
It's not even Patreon.
It's our conversation. It's not your all's conversation. It's between me, Jesse, and Patrick. Yeah. Jesse, Patrick, and I. It's between me and you. You and I. It's between all of us. It's to me.
No, it's to me.
Because it's me.
Yeah. All you do is you say it with the other thing,
and which is the one makes the sense. Yeah. Got it.
Okay. Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Hi.
I know I'm getting older. Okay. It's Got Star Trek. Hello.
Wait a second. Wait. Were you prepping yourself? What are you doing?
No. Prep it. I don't even know.
You were just thinking out loud for a second.
He's prepping out.
Fluffing myself.
Fluffing your nutter. Fluffernutters. Oh, I'm just talking about fluffernutters. I've never had marshmallow and peanut butter sandwich.
That sounds gross.
I mean, I've had a bite of one.
I'm not big on marshmallow.
Is it fried? Or is it just raw?
I'm not big on marshmallow fluff myself, but it has its place. S'mores can be all right.
I like a marshmallow. I don't like marshmallow fluff.
I feel like fluffernutters are supposed to be grilled or something, aren't they?
I would hope so.
Yeah. I don't know.
That'd be good with some butter.
That's the only way I'm going to try.
Some butter.
Perhaps some coconut oil.
Some butter.
All right.
Some anchovies. Some sriracha.
No. So
some chopped minced garlic.
Hello and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Reporting from the USS Enterprise.
USS.
Oh boy, that was an effort.
All right,
that was an effort. We still got a lot more of this to do, don't we?
Yeah, we do. There's a whole bunch.
Only 3 minutes
in.
Oh man.
All right. So.
Oh, exciting, isn't it?
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. This is episode.
Sweet the heebie-jeebies.
this is episode number 302 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Mm-hmm. One.
And what episode are we doing today, Jesse or Patrick?
This episode.
I forget what.
Because I don't care which. I don't even care which one you guys say. Remember, we learned that I don't care anymore.
Dan no longer cares, Jesse.
It doesn't. We don't have to go by a pattern. Like, you can say it, Jesse. I can say it if I want. And I'm sorry. I'm not giving you guys permission. This is not me giving you permission. I'm just telling you that I'm not going to put my shit on you guys anymore. Because I got my shit, and you guys got your shit. Yes, and I don't need to give you
Dan's
my shit.
Dan's about to stand up and pull his pants down.
This is Dan. You explained.
Just wave some shit at us.
You explained this last week. So I'll go ahead.
But we don't know.
I'll do the thing. Okay. This week, we will be discussing Star Trek Strange New Worlds third season episode.
Strange New World.
It's the fifth episode of the third season.
Oh, I can't wait.
And it is called...
Say it.
It is called Through the Lens of Time.
Indeed, there is much to discuss.
Oh, I see what you've done there.
Mm-hmm.
You've done what I think the kids call a clever edit.
Fascinating.
Actually, no.
I didn't step all over it this time.
Yeah.
Well, I told you, I don't care if you do. You could have. It'd be fine with me. No,
well, I don't care either.
Actually, no, I didn't do a clever edit. I think they just changed,
That wasn't you editing it?
No.
Play it again.
You. Indeed, there is much to discuss.
I think they just switched from comms to him or whatever.
I didn't know. I thought that was you doing something. It was somebody else doing a clever edit.
A common myth.
Nope. All right. So,
all right.
We are excited and eager to talk about this mind-bending episode.
Oh, exciting, isn't it?
Of Star Trek. But
what? Well, we have first things to do.
Yeah.
No, okay. But I mean, go ahead.
No.
You started on a whole.
I was going into the episode, but we have front matter to do.
We have old business.
We have some front matter. Well, we have some front matter and some old business.
Yeah.
Guys, this is great.
I mean, some embarrassing old business, but we'll get to that. We'll get to the.
We have embarrassing stuff.
We have. It's embarrassing. We omitted something. It's fairly embarrassing. It's an embarrassing omission. But
it's a lot going on.
We will rectify that.
Rectify.
For folks who are confused, you soon won't be. Don't worry about it.
We'll
get you there.
When
you need to be there. Okay.
Yeah.
But first, we did want to start.
That's what I like to do. Go butt first.
we just wanted to start out.
He's not lying.
We wanted to start out. We got a lovely review on Apple Podcasts from Elena.
Yes.
Who
follows us on Mastodon. And you can find us on Mastodon at It's Got Star Trek. I think 10 forward social, but if you search for It's Got Star Trek, I think you'll find us there. But Elena is a big supporter of ours on Mastodon, and
great.
We always appreciate her and very much appreciate this wonderful review she left for us. And as a reminder, as just information for folks who weren't aware, we do have a policy that for any review, anytime somebody leaves a review, we will provide them with a custom written haiku.
Waited my whole life for a fine like this.
Yeah, and Dan
based
is the
on
one.
Their name.
Dan does a haiku. Turns out, we didn't know this initially, but it turns out he likes to base the haiku on their name.
I think I announced my intentions from the start. You guys must have fallen out of your head
I always had that with me.
Or you guys must have been busy
going
on your Jesse and Patrick missions, leaving me in the dust. Yeah. That's fine. I don't care. I told you I don't care anymore.
Listen,
Jesse says he knew about it. I didn't. I don't. I might be the guilty party.
Far from my deal.
Yes. So we will craft a haiku, and Dan does not use AI or any of that bullshit to make the haiku.
He's really Dan.
No.
Although we have been training an AI agent to serve as a Dan substitute if Dan is not available.
I'm paradoxical.
It's frightening.
Yes, it's not working out so well just yet, but we'll see. We'll get there in the end.
If you're into that sort of thing.
If
you're into that sort of thing.
But Elena left this wonderful, wonderful review, and it's so clever that I wanted to read it. So we'll
Talk
go ahead.
Science.
We'll read Elena's review, and then Dan will provide his haiku. So Elena says, and this is, by the way, Elena wrote this in a poem format.
Yes.
So she says, okay, let's do it. Or the things I do for a haiku. Holograms and Chief O'Brien. Surely listen, I'm not lying. Sound clips, tangents, and discussion. Shenanigans, maybe some fussing. Plus odds and ends and games and fun. Some lists and stuff, a perfect sum. I know that's not a perfect rhyme, but hey, I'm not that sublime. Every week without a break, no, this is no fake. An episode will be put out, a lot of work without a doubt. Be sure, I'm not joking, Lee. It's real, please, you should trust me. It's got Star Trek, sure is fun. Go and listen, don't walk, run. Ha. And then she says, I had a lot of fun writing it, and I'm only sad that I couldn't get Where Would I Stay in it all. Congratulations for 300 plus episodes. I've listened to most and enjoyed them all.
Thanks, Agamus.
I'm not joking, Lee.
Where would I stay?
It was so great seeing that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was awesome.
We really do appreciate
Super
that.
Super cool.
Totally.
Been doing it in a big way.
Well, especially all the effort you put into writing that up.
That was very impressive.
That's touching. So, Dan, do you have Elena's haiku reward?
Well, her name is Elena, and it's at their TheresMiling.
What are you talking about? What?
That's her handle. Yeah. If you look at her name, it's Elena.
Yeah, on Mastodon.
Yeah, so I'm saying this is... You know,
Elena at what was it?
T-H-E-R-E
the.
Let me finish before. T-H-E-R-E-S. Sorry. TheresMiling.
There's smiling.
It's the whole name I see. I don't
the handle. Yeah.
The handle.
In this case, the handle.
And like it's not. So meaning like it could be the at part. It could be the name part. It could be both. It doesn't matter. Just the whole header. Yeah. The from field. Yeah. The whole from field.
Okay.
Because you got the name and you got the handle.
And it's an alliteration, which is great. From field.
From field.
Yeah.
From field.
All right.
I'm from Frumfield, Massachusetts. Frumfield, Massachusetts. Okay.
Very well. Very
so
good.
This is my haiku based off of Elena with the handle TheresMiling.
Okay, just to me, it's peculiar that you're spelling. I'm looking forward to this because you're making a point of spelling it out instead of just saying at their smiling.
It's like he's making
this
a point
is irrelevant.
I don't know if it's irrelevant. Okay, all right. Go for it. All right.
Hey, where would I stay? There's Miling, Australia. Let's go there smiling.
Okay, I think I get it now. I think I get it now.
It all comes together.
I appreciate that, Dan.
Yes.
And I appreciate you.
Aw, I appreciate you too. And you, Jesse.
Yeah.
But thanks, dude.
Mostly I appreciate myself, but you guys are pretty
I
cool
got
too.
That impression.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And okay. I appreciate Elena at TheresMiling as well.
Excellent. We all appreciate Elena.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Some of our overseas listeners might be aware, but Miling is a small town in the Shire of Moora, 200 kilometers north of Perth. It's in Western Australia. Yeah. Small town. Miling, Australia.
That's on the Indian Ocean.
Yeah. So all the people from Australia, let us know what you guys think of Miling. I got to know.
I believe Elena is from Germany.
Well, you know.
Well, fuck. Dude.
There's no place in Germany called Miling.
That's not anywhere near
I mean, there
Australia.
Might be.
You know, there is a place in Germany called Glaubitz, which is my last name.
Ja, Glaubitz. Das geil. Sie bist ein Deutscher.
Yeah, exactly.
Können Sie Deutsch sprechen? Ein bisschen Deutsch sprechen? Vielleicht? Nein?
Are some of your people from like Bohemia or something?
Bohemia?
Czech Republic?
No.
you said no a little quickly.
No.
No! No, it just reminded me of a person we all used to know who was...
Someone, you know, like that song, Someone You Used to Know?
No, this person that we all used to know whose mom was from the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. So now, unfortunately, whenever I hear Czech Republic, I think of this guy.
You say no.
And this guy was a real piece of work.
I'm now...
Hard to explain this
I
person.
I now recall.
It's inside baseball.
Not necessarily a bad person, just... hard to explain person. Yeah. And it's you can be a not bad person but still be kind of like nightmare inducing in a way. Yeah. You know, because it was just a very weird kind of awful part of my life, but anyways. Yes. Whether that was his fault or not, he definitely
he played a part.
But I can't put all the blame on him, but it was a weird time in my life.
Yeah.
Anyway, that made it sound very intriguing.
I was there, so.
Salacious, and even. There was nothing salacious that went on between the two of them. Not the way you're thinking.
Salacious.
Not the way you're thinking.
I was around. I know exactly what you're talking about.
He knows exactly what you're doing.
Copy that.
Okay.
But Elena, go... Let me know how your trip to Glaubitz, Germany goes.
All right. Sehr gut. Sehr gut.
Thank you, Elena.
Vielen Dank, Elena. Much appreciated.
This is the town of Glaubitz.
Okay. We've got a couple of voicemails to go through. So, first we
Nobody
have...
Nobody lives there.
A voicemail from our old pal, Frasier.
All right, Frasier.
Actually, we got a couple of voicemails from Frasier.
I can never get enough of Frasier. He's the best.
And this voicemail took me a second to interpret, but I understand now that he's referencing episode 300, which was the It's Got Star Trek technical manual. Dan introduced a few different riffs that he was suggesting as potential new theme song.
I'm not joking, Lee.
And you will already know, we already have. We picked a different theme song.
You can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's theme song to play on the It's Got Star Trek podcast unless you ask really nicely and they agree with you.
Wow, because we often, on the hundreds, we like to play around with the format a little bit.
Is that like Weather on the Eights?
It's similar to that.
Except it's not lame.
So this is Frasier is referencing because Dan presented, I think, five different riffs, musical riffs that he had put together and using his analog synthesizer and some other skills. And
is this, am I about to be humbled?
No, you will not be humbled. Quite the opposite.
He's going to come over and kick you right at the ball.
Quite the opposite, I think. Dan only titled one of these. That's relevant for this as well. So here's Frasier's voicemail.
Clown Festival, Clown Festival, Clown Festival, Clown Festival, Clown Festival, Clown Festival, Clown Festival. If that's not your new theme song, I quit. I quit and I revoke my $3 a month.
Oh. Yikes. Thanks, Agamemnon.
Yes, so
we need them.
I guess we got to vote.
We need them.
Frasier was voting for Clown Festival.
Maybe
now,
maybe once every 10 episodes we should play Clown Festival instead or something.
That was one of Dan's riffs. I like that one quite a lot too.
Yeah.
It was not the one
they
we picked.
They were all nice.
It was not the one we ended up picking for the new theme song. But,
hey, you know,
it was a good one.
I'm loosey goosey. If we ever want to play Clown Festival,
we can
I'm
use
down
it
for
other musical uses, just background music, interstitial.
We could
interlude.
So maybe every once in a while we could, like, after the episode's over, you can just play it at the end.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
So here's a follow up. A follow up. Frasier sent this immediately after that one.
I want you to know I'm kidding about revoking my money. I would keep listening even if you publicly called me a piece of shit and disowned me and disavowed me. You guys are just the best.
I wasn't that way.
No, thanks.
Fuck off.
Thanks, Frasier.
Frasier.
We love the Clown Festival,
Frasier.
Too.
Frasier, you're the best.
Well, and what Frasier's referring to, he is a Patreon contributor, and if anybody else would like to contribute to Patreon, help us keep this crazy thing going, and also get some bonus content, you can go to patreon.com/itsgotstartrek.
Bilana's on it.
Indeed. Okay. And the last voicemail today, you'll recall, we did recently get a voicemail from Colonel Ty.
Oh, yeah.
From Battlestar Galactica.
I forgot to... Fuck.
Oh, did you have some funny gag you
No, I didn't, but...
You were going to record some clips?
Well, I was going to take...
The guts?
Yeah.
I forgot. Because you liked that. Didn't I put that out for you?
You sent that to me.
Guts.
I bet you I could real quick like zip it over to my iPad if real hard.
How quick can you zip it?
You can do that while we play this next voicemail because this is not from Colonel Ty.
Okay.
So Colonel Ty, we did really enjoy Colonel Ty's voicemail. I believe it was last week. This is a voicemail from Dr. Gaius Baltar.
Right.
Yes. Hello. This is Vice President Gaius Baltar. Can you hear me? I'm trying to get a message through this tear in the intellectual property space-time continuum. Hello? Oh, good. There you are. Perhaps you've heard of me, Vice President of the Colonies, renowned scientist on Caprica. Look, it doesn't really matter. I need some help. I could hear you, gentlemen, talking about someone stuck in a room that's generating very vivid hallucinations that they can't escape from unless they achieve some kind of goal. I'm just asking for a friend, but is it possible that someone else could be stuck in something like this? Not me. No. I certainly do not have vivid hallucinations about beautiful women just having all manner of intercourse and relations with me at any given time and slamming me up a hallway and... No, it's not happening to me. But if it was, would you by any chance know how to get out of it? Because it's really interfering with my social life and my work. And I think it's going to have a poor effect on my psyche as time goes on. Let's just send a message back through the through this tear in the intellectual property continuum, and please let me know. Help.
I love the concept of an intellectual property continuum.
For real.
It's a different plane of existence. Which we'll get to soon. Did you get the guts?
Guts.
I'll need to normalize it later, but
guts.
That's fantastic.
Guts. Wait a second.
Guts.
All right. Well, thanks, Gaius.
Thanks,
Dr. Baltar, I should say.
Is that from Battlestar Galactica?
That is from Battlestar Galactica.
Was it difficult prepping for the role of Loki in the Thor movies, Gaius?
Yeah. Okay. Are you making a
How about like do you ever miss your days in Deep Space Nine as Bashir, Dr. Bashir?
Yeah, I get it. I know.
It was neither of those things.
Very good.
Tom Hiddleston.
Indeed, sir.
And Siddig Elf.
Yes.
Well, Alexander Siddig. No, thank you very much, Dr. Baltar. And completely separately, completely independent of that, we appreciate that voicemail. A new completely separate point. Folks, if you're into Battlestar Galactica, you should check out Battlestage Theatrica.
Oh, shit.
That's a podcast that may interest
you. Like a play on words.
It is indeed a play on words. Check out Battlestage Theatrica. All right.
Clever. That was a pretty good Gaius Baltar.
I thought it was a fantastic Gaius Baltar. All right. Now, the last thing, because I know
everyone... This has been going on forever.
I know. Don't worry.
There were 20 minutes.
Don't worry. This episode, we got plenty to discuss in this episode, but not that much.
But we might not get to it all.
But we have one last thing.
Even the freaky underground hellhole gets even freakier.
One last thing, and that is, we did last week, we made a big deal about how there was a duty or no duty.
Oh, my God,
and we totally forgot. So last week, we were talking about a space adventure hour. Gaius Baltar was just referencing it, the holodeck going crazy.
Holograms?
And...
holodeck.
And in... that episode.
Recreation room?
Yes. There was...
Tango.
Not only a duty or no duty, I mean, it was like a very apparent duty or
so
no duty.
So much so that for, like it's not often or if ever, Patrick, that you start at the beginning of the episode and you're like, I heard it, and I went, or whatever it is you said.
Yeah. Last week's episode was quite energetic, shall we say, and...
We got a bit carried away.
It got away from us. It was great podcast episode. I highly recommend people go check it out.
As always.
I'm Zipnot.
Probably better than this week's, but so if you're not digging this week's, go check out last week's episode. All right, so duty or no duty. Let's do it. We want to do it, and we feel bad.
And this is from last episode, which would be two Star Trek episodes ago for by the time you hear this.
Well, these are evergreen episodes, Dan.
Oh,
people
yeah.
in the future, they're just going to be like listening
don't
to
this.
Don't fuck they're
going
to watch
shit,
the episode, they're going to listen to the podcast.
I forgot.
Pies?
Okay, duty or no duty from Space Adventure Hour.
We may need your brain cells to power our radiation, but you will never stop us.
We can and we will because we must. It is our duty. As space explorers, it is our duty.
I mean, I know what I think. Jesse,
I know what I think.
Jesse,
I think we all think the same thing.
Yeah, no duty.
Yeah. No duty. Jesse's all sheepish about it.
I mean,
that's a no duty.
I mean,
no
duty. Because to me, it was very apparent that it's a no duty.
Yeah.
Which is why I was like, well, if I think it's no duty, then these guys think it's like a super no duty. Yeah.
So that's
a very clever way of putting what I was hyperbolizing what I was trying to say.
Do you think that's why we forgot about it because it was just going to be non-controversial?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we just really got off on a tangent.
Well, yeah.
It is our duty.
Very much a no duty.
There's so much to talk about.
There's no stank
that
there.
That episode, it was really something.
Yeah.
Nothing stinky about that line.
Okay.
Because there's no duty.
All right. So,
All right.
Similar to this episode of the podcast, this episode of Strange New Worlds, and I'm talking about Through the Lens of Time, had a very long...
That's what I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay. Let's do it.
A very long cold open.
I was actually...
Or, what do we call it? What are we calling it, Dan? Did
I
we
call
agree?
It a cold, I call cold it a cold open.
Yeah,
but if you want to continue to call it teaser, that's on you.
No,
what's funny to me is you forget
I'm
what you call it.
I want to agree with you.
Show likes to do that. They like to do that. Yeah.
Well,
so did Discovery did that too.
Yes, Discovery. I think Discovery had one that was like 15, 16 minutes once.
Well, like the show Invincible, the animated superhero show, like It almost feels like the opening isn't really an opening. It's just a separation of parts of the of different. It's like they fit two episodes in one, and perhaps the opening is actually the opening of the episode acts as just a way to split. Sometimes it's a legit opening, like Invincible. Sometimes it happens like way late.
I
in the
love
episode.
The Invincible openings, and I think one of them was like 40 minutes into the episode. Fantastic.
Right. So I actually noted this too. It was 11 minutes in until the opening started. Yeah. The official. Opening to the thing of this started, so
right.
Isn't that something?
We're getting started like 25 minutes in.
We've also like this episode of Star Trek.
Right.
We also had a long and meaty,
meaty
opening segment.
We like meatier.
But yeah, they introduce a lot in this episode in this opening. Although let me just lay it out on the line there. I really enjoy this episode. I always like mind bending sci-fi puzzles. I do have a few qualms with it.
I mean,
and one of them is just there's things that confuse me a little. Mm-hmm. They're just minor, but right at the top we open with Ensign Gamble doing what do you call it, like a log,
and that's when I was like, oh, this is gonna be a fun Gamble episode. It's gonna be fun and lighthearted.
You'll recall when Ensign Gamble was introduced at the beginning of the season, I was worried that I was like, oh no, are they introducing this charming Gamble. New character that we're gonna fall in love with just to murder him?
He's a red shirt.
Yeah,
he's
unfortunately,
a white shirt, red shirt.
It was. I wish it wasn't so obvious, but that was the case. Still a good story. But the thing was confusing is he's giving this log, and in the initial log, he talks about, like, but I knew my life would never be the same after today. And I'm like, when did he record this log?
Yeah, right.
Was it like after his eyes got like zapped?
Oh,
was it? Yeah. Was it? Was it like
after it zapped, but before he got fucking killed? Or does he come back?
Or was it after he got assigned to the away team, and that's what he was referencing? Like, my life could be different because I got to join an away team.
Maybe he comes back to life later, and like that's when he makes the log. Probably not.
Or is he in the computer? Because like, you know, at the end, it's got an X-Files ending.
Well, they can put just about anything in that transporter buffer. You know, they can just
for real,
fucking
dude.
Keep monsters in there.
You go through there, you're fucking
people's
monster.
Dead daughters
monster.
In there. Yeah. You know, monster.
Monster.
And why doesn't Laan say lieutenant? Scotty says lieutenant.
Yeah, she's British.
It's British because Lou is French for left.
Yeah,
lieutenant.
So who says lieutenant?
Just the British
now.
Commonwealth.
Yeah. Well, what
and
is
most Commonwealth don't even.
So okay. Well, what is Laan's accent?
I think
accent
the Canadians
supposed,
do.
What
Canadians
is
Laan?
She's British. She has a British accent.
Okay, but okay then. What? Is, well, Scotty.
She's not a monster. Monster.
Okay.
It's a peculiar thing you're doing over there, Dan. It's rather peculiar.
He's calm. Scotty is Scottish.
Perhaps.
But like, so it's okay for the Scottish people to say
lieutenant.
But yeah. Patrick, you said. She doesn't say lieutenant. You said lieutenant is French. So that my question is why does she not say lieutenant? She doesn't say lieutenant. She says lieutenant.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Well, I noted it.
Well, because I think Starfleet generally uses the lieutenant, which is derived from the French,
maybe.
But it's American.
But Scotty
English.
Says lieutenant.
Maybe generally Scottish people are is the Scottish dialect is usually seen as like some sort of archaic thing. So maybe they're using archaic terminology.
Scotty says all sorts of crazy stuff.
Look, I'm just saying,
lots of Scottish sayings.
I'm just saying in this episode.
It's a bit of flavor, a bit of color.
I'm just saying in this episode, Scotty
said. Of flavor.
In this episode, Scotty says lieutenant and Laan says lieutenant. And Patrick, I think you misheard me because you were like, oh, it's because lieutenant is the French way of pronouncing it, which is why I was confused by what you were saying.
I did mishear you.
Yeah, so.
Should we start a new segment called Lieutenant or Lieutenant?
That'd be so tedious.
See, I mean,
I bet this was the only time it happened.
I would believe it. I didn't really catch that, and I just figured they both said lieutenant.
I caught it.
We've definitely heard references to lieutenant on Star Trek before, but I think usually in a period context or like when Q's fucking about.
I think I should expand the that's an order to include more things. Like in this episode, at one point when Spock is like talking about like reverse causality or whatever thing is. First of all, it seems like nobody takes time physics anymore because there's always some advanced engineer that doesn't know about like inverse upside down causality, you know? And it's like, and
well, it's not like the rest of us.
People are getting dumbed down, man.
Yeah, yeah. And so.
It's the dumbing down of Star Trek.
And then
they don't even know about inverse causality, inverse upside down causality.
But Laan, when he says that, Laan goes,
"Yeah, you're gonna have to walk me through that one."
And what I'm thankful for is she didn't say in English, Spock. Yeah. I'm glad that's see that's why I should expand this game to just include general things that are
annoying. In Federation standard, Spock.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I would have accepted that because that's funny. But like in English,
I'm not a monster. I'm
not a monster.
How about this? Let's go ahead. Let's take our break.
Oh my God, are we already?
I know.
Are we already? We haven't even talked.
You say that every time.
We're pieces of shit.
No.
They're not hard to understand, Bob. They're monsters.
It is time for a break. Plus, I've got to go pee-pee. So
oh, no. Pee-pee time.
Let's do pee-pee time.
Yay, pee-pee.
And poo-poo, pee-pee. I've been drinking water like I'm told. I'm supposed to drink water, so I've been drinking lots of water.
He's a good guy.
Now I got to go pee-pee.
Now I got to go pee-pee.
Because I drink water, I go pee-pee.
So when we get
that's
back.
That's a side effect.
That's what
of,
happens,
side
man.
Effect of being healthy is you have to pee and poo a lot.
Yeah, farts come out.
All right. When we come back, we'll keep doing this. We'll be right back.
Whoa, hold on.
Okay, and we are back.
And now it's my time to shine.
I should have said, okay, let's do it.
I know, because then I could have played.
Okay, let's do it!
It's just a crazy idea.
Oh, yes.
So, Gamble's eyes... okay, like, that was really gross. That whole concept of him losing his eyes.
A
like,
lot of body horror in this episode.
So, this episode, yeah, begins as a fun Gamble episode. Now, I don't know if that was a joke they were playing on us when they were doing, like, the whole... Hey, Baba, I'm so fun.
I know.
It's a fun. I'm Gamble. I'm so plucky and excited to go. Oh,
he,
boy, oh,
he
boy.
He was on the turbo lift with those other two, and he was like, I'm totally interrupting you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I interrupted something today.
Because he's an observant character. He's a nice guy.
So, so I couldn't tell, because there were a couple, I'll go back to his eyes in a minute, but I want to observe, speaking of
his
observing.
Eyes.
Speaking
something's of, happened to his eyes.
Speaking of his of observing.
He has his father's eyes.
I was just thinking about a few minutes ago about how the episode began with like, oh, Plucky Gamble gets his day in the sunshine and like it's great and it's gonna be fun, and then it turns like terrifying. Yeah. And part of me feels that was a joke the writers played on us, because there are two other confusing lines delivered with a confusing tone that they did on purpose, and they were both done by a Palea. Mm-hmm. Do you know which lines I'm talking about?
Because I know certainly the one at the end where Palea gives that long speech on evil, which, by the way, I'll talk about my opinions on evil later. But yes, it was clearly a joke.
So, and then there was the one about when she goes,
it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Because she was like talking about like, and that goes along the same line.
Can you tell me what is she saying there?
Wait, I'll play it again.
It gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebies. You never heard?
Oh, yes. In context, now I remember. Yeah. Yes, that's the heebie-jeebies line.
Right. So actually the one at the end and this one are similar, because it's both her talking about this evil, right? And that one begins with her saying like, oh, I can't explain it. I don't know a scientific term for it. And then you think it's like, oh, no, this is going to talk about how terrifying it is. She's like, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. And it's like, what? It's like confusing, right? Because like she's talking about this serious shit and she talks about the heebie-jeebies. So it seems obvious. So to me, it seems apparent that the writers did that on purpose to make it like a joke. But at the same time, it's still not a joke, because that shit is supposed to be terrifying. So and the line at the end was confusing too, because she's talking about how evil everything was, and then she's all like, "Do you need another take?" Implying that whole speech was a joke. Yeah. But was it a joke?
Doesn't seem like it.
It doesn't see. Neither of those lines seem like they were jokes at first, but they were made into jokes by how she ended it, and that's why it was confusing. And like I said, maybe they were doing that on purpose, but I couldn't figure out if I was supposed to like take that seriously or laugh at that, or if it was just a moment of levity to lighten the mood. I couldn't figure out like what they were going for with that, which is why, and that what made me think about the thing at the beginning with Gamble, because they had this sort of, it almost seemed like a meta joke that they, like I said, they began it as this fun Gamble episode, and like on a dime it like turns into his fucking eyeballs
Gamble.
All his eyes get fucking burned out. Well, and he's like, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah. I think there's a lot in this episode that is just a little bit confusing.
Right.
Yep. Whether it's plot points or tonal decisions. And it's fairly consistent throughout the episode.
And those things, I feel like they have to have done it on purpose, but I still am having a hard time knowing how to interpret it.
Well, it's also the juxtaposition, which I have no doubt agree with you that it was clearly on purpose to begin the episode with all this cheeriness. You want to do that because then the impact of Gamble, a character we've rapidly fallen in love with, most of us anyway, when what happens to him happens, the impact is that much stronger.
But
we've already had this wonderful beginning bit with him.
But the difference is so much that it almost feels like a joke.
Well, I get what you're saying. I mean, I'm referring to a literary device, and you're saying it's a joke.
No, I know you're saying it's a literary device, like that. It's like,
but it's such an extreme version.
I'm saying it's so extreme. It clubs you over the head so hard with it that it almost feels it's a meta joke or something.
But then on the other hand, they make some very clever production choices and I'm curious if this was in the script or if it was indeed a choice made by the production team, because the way his eyes got burned out, it wasn't the traditional bloody or burny gross. It was that almost beautiful starry style. You know what I'm saying? Like, it looked like his eye holes were filled with an infinity of stars. Right? There was a majesty to it. There was a beauty to
majesty.
It.
The majesty of it.
Which I thought was a very clever thing to do to make you intrigued. You almost want to look at it.
Because
normally you don't want to look at somebody who's just had their eyes horrifically, brutally burnt out.
You mean the freaky underground hellhole gets even freakier?
When I looked at his eyes, to me, and I guess this is kind of along similar lines, to me it gave the imagery of the demons themselves, this concept of sort of like this dark, this evil darkness.
Well,
like
the eyes are the window to the soul, not to be too on the nose, but the eyes are the window to the soul. So the spirit, evil spirit creatures jump in through the eyes. I get it.
Okay, real side quest. People have had to mention the whole regenerating the eyes thing, right? Because why couldn't they do that with Geordi?
Right.
I don't know. It just didn't work
Something
out.
Something else didn't work. Yeah,
something happened to him, man.
Why?
They had to use that visor.
Yeah, I know. And which is why.
But later on, he got better eyes.
Why? Yeah, but that was later on. But I'm saying,
still TNG, digital.
TNG takes place after. Obviously, I don't have to remind anyone that it takes place way after this show. And you're able to regenerate eyeballs, but they don't. Why didn't it work for Geordi?
Because
I think
if Geordi was born blind or born sightless, maybe then the parts of the brain didn't
see.
Work
I think you guys are headcanoning, and to me it seems like a retcon.
Well, okay, you've used two terms there.
Maybe so.
I mean, Jesse, I don't want to speak for you. I think Patrick, you're headcanoning, and I think it's a retcon.
Well, the thing is, I don't get too hung up on that because I also understand that
but you have before in episodes talked about how you get annoyed. I can't name them, but I remember there have been times you've been annoyed that they've changed certain things about.
Look,
I can't tell.
I'm a Star Trek fan, which means I'm going to be inconsistent in how I apply.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
My rubric.
That's what I'm saying because I don't know
which is my right.
Yeah,
as a Star Trek fan.
That was actually the point I was going to make. Is that sometimes I don't know what fits that criteria for being okay and not being okay at retcon.
Yeah.
For
you, okay, that fool had
it's not a criticism. I'm not criticizing.
That fool had regular eyes. They just had to build, they just had to make new eyes for him.
Yeah.
Like Geordi's got some kind of eyes with a problem, so there's an issue.
Can't they just take his eyes out and rebuild them?
They can't just.
You think there's
that.
A brain, a connection to the brain that's different with Geordi? Connection to the brain is fucked.
Something more.
What I do hope is relatively consistent for me over time and on the podcast is that.
God help us all.
Is that I am forgiving for the because this is meant to be entertainment. These are meant to be stories that are fun. Entertaining and maybe teach us some lessons or make some social commentary. And so in that sense, I generally am forgiving about doing what's necessary for the plot. I do get aggravated, and this happens, for example, in Voyager sometimes, where it's okay, we'll just completely change characterizations for the plot. I don't like that. I still like the plot to emerge from what we know about the characters. But in this case, the plot was it should be easy to regrow eyes, but something's not working, so there's something wrong. Whereas with Geordi, the whole point was to demonstrate that in the future, there are still people who are differently abled, and that's okay. So that was a different point to that character.
So for example, with Klingons, like, I don't care that the Klingons have looked different throughout Star Trek. Like, yeah. Most people have just accepted that it's almost like a joke. But, like, it's like, who cares at this point? But, like, I feel like they could have easily picked another body part, but the reason they picked the eyes is because they were going for the coolness of how creepy it is that his eyes came out. Same reason why they had him saying, like,
do you think it was something wearing her skin?
Yeah.
Something that drank her tears. It's like off her screen.
They clearly did that just because it sounded cool.
Yes, plus, as I said, they are purposefully building on that old phrase, the eyes are the window to the soul. Like, that's the connection. It's like this guy's soul has been taken over by evil demon creature, like actual demon, seemingly, because this, by the way, again, one of my things I'm a little uncomfortable with this episode is that it seems like they're going for like an Event Horizon thing where these people in looking for immortality accidentally got into, like, entered hell. And like, there's like hell demons, and like, they're talking about evil being like a real thing. And I've talked about this before on the podcast that I'm uncomfortable with, like evil as a shorthand for fucked up. I'm cool with evil as like, no, it's an actual thing.
Right.
I don't like that because
evil is a problem anyways, because it's othering things.
It is.
Like,
yes. And it makes it so easy to be like, oh, something is evil. It's not evil.
We don't have to think about what's wrong with it. We just know it's fucked
and,
up.
And it can not be blamed for things. You can not blame things because, oh, it's just evil. Or you can say there's nothing I can do because it's just evil. What am I supposed to do?
You can kill it and who cares?
Or the evil entered me and I did some fucked up shit because it was evil. It's I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it.
The devil took me.
I don't believe in it. And I think it's a dangerous concept when people believe in evil as a thing as opposed to, like, in this material universe that we live in. Now,
drink her tears for literary purposes. Drink her tears
Jesus,
and fed off her screen.
That is evil.
Drink her tears and fed off her screen. Drink her tears and fed off her screen.
Like, it's not that evil.
That's like a lullaby. That's disturbing.
Drink her tears and fed off her screen. Drink her tears and fed off her screen.
You let me die alone.
I'm appreciating what they're doing from in an analogy sense. I do get a little nervous that they're opening up this. It seems like the potentially plot, maybe a plot they plan to revisit, which is like, we went to hell and actual demons came out and a demon went into this guy. And now there's a demon living in the computer and it's an actual demon.
So here's the thing is I'm mixed. I'm conflicted on this because on the one hand, I want them to come back to this because if they don't, then there was really no point to this whole episode. And like a lot of the shit they introduced, because I was thinking back to the Shuttle to Conform. Actually, and that episode, like, it wasn't like the best episode of the world, but I did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have maybe focused more on one thing, either the Klingon situation or the zombie situation. But by
the hat on a hat plot.
And the thing is that, and what kind of is one thing annoying by the hat on the hat is it just you don't get to get too deep into any one thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just surface level.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to drill more into some of these things. Now, I like the idea of like combining different things to make a cool, bigger story, but it they didn't really combine. They just stuck them together.
Yeah.
And so this thing had like the time puzzle and these demons. And the thing is it's getting that feeling again where they're kind of piling too much stuff. So if they don't go back to this later, the demons will felt pointless. But on the other hand, if they do go back to it, like you said, it's like, do we really want to like learn about some evil demons hanging out?
And some people have been like, these are like paw wraiths. Maybe they're like paw wraiths. Maybe they are paw wraiths. And Deep Space Nine delved a little bit into this too. It's my favorite series, but sometimes it came up against that border. But
could change the way we view mortality.
Again, fun, entertaining, visually, like using these analogies was great. I'm nervous that they're saying it's a real demon, but if that's not the case, okay, good. But you brought up something else that was confusing to me. This episode,
good and evil are relative terms, son.
Yeah, I agree with Pike there.
Except Pike is lecturing him about good and evil being relative terms. But wasn't it just a few episodes earlier where he was straight up like the Gorn are monsters?
Yeah.
So now he's kind of going back on that. Like, at first he's like, has all this emotional hatred, the Gorn are monsters.
Monsters aren't necessarily evil.
And I think, but it's just like, It just seems like before he was like, these guys are monsters, and now he's talking about how it's relative. It just seems a little inconsistent.
Were they evil, Captain?
There is evil in this universe.
Vesta means evil. I have another plot thing I want to go on, but
a list thing.
Well, no, it's not a list, but it was like the whole Vesta and the Gorn thing. Anyway,
all right, we'll get to that.
But you were going to say
I really enjoyed watching this episode. I enjoyed it even more the second time through, which is a good test, because one of the issues that some modern Trek has, as entertaining as it can be, when it's so serialized, you realize you're like, I can't just like hop into this episode.
Right.
I can only like watch this episode again in the future when I decide to do a whole season rewatch or even a whole series rewatch. What's so awesome about Strange New World, similar to Lower Decks, is most of these episodes you can just pop right in.
Right.
And this episode is one of them where you get to have this fun puzzle and all that other stuff. But one of the confusing things, it's called Through the Lens of Time. And Dan, you just referenced this whole time shenanigans.
Why was the writing in Chinese at that one part?
Okay, we'll get to that. That I was going to make that point too, but let's not get distracted.
Inconclusive.
What does this have anything to do with time? They're talking about different dimensions and planes of existence. It's not like a time room. I was watching it. I rewound. I was like, wait, is this room? Yeah. Are they all at different times? Is that the gag that they're at different times? But it didn't seem to be the case.
There was only one time thing, and that had to do with that weirdness with the bridge, that whole invisible bridge thing. You remember? Okay, so first.
Oh yes, the inverted causality, which again, another confusing thing. The Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
That's what
Gambit.
I was going to say. That was the second one. They did Event Horizon. They did Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and they fucking did Ghostbusters, and they straight up called it a containment unit.
Oh yeah,
with the ghost containment, the ghost trap. So it's Ghostbusters.
It is a ghost trap. It's a demon trap.
They're using all these horror movies. Well, Indiana Jones isn't horror, but Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade deals with religious scariness and like
religious scariness. Only the penitent man may pass.
And they used like the ship to like blast away like some part of like a mountain or something, and that's what that was like the dig that was the archaeological.
Well, that was another thing that confused me because
it looked cool. I liked watching the beam come from the Enterprise way in the sky. That looked cool, but it was confusing.
Cool, but like,
what does it mean?
Like,
what were they? Did they know that was going to happen?
Yeah, right.
I'm not like an expert on archaeology, but like archaeology is like you have like a little brush and you're going you're going like did for like a month and like you're not like blasting it with like a laser
they
from
did,
outer space.
They did really brute force that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, again, I don't know what was happening. Okay, let me make a quick point here, because there has been a trend this season. It's become more apparent as we've watched all these episodes. This is episode 5. But there's a trend of weird, not very well explained solutions to previously intractable problems, right? So they have a big problem, and then all of a sudden there's a solution. Like, for example, in Hegemony Part 2, they have that whole, like...
Part 2?
The whole thing with the twin suns, and then they're, like, hiding behind the sun somehow, and there's something like... It's sort of like, okay.
That tickles.
And then Dan, you already mentioned that in Shuttle to Kenfori, they kept just sort of piling on these improbable plot points with like this and that
improbable
and the Klingon
plot
and it never got to delve to, I mean, like I said, I did enjoy that episode, but thinking back, I was like, they didn't have enough time to explore both those properly. They should have picked one.
And in this episode, for the at the beginning, or this sort of towards the beginning, they're there because there's this weird like little gravity anomaly that's wiggling, and they're like, clearly they've already decided the whole plan is to like set up some shit and then shoot a laser at it. I don't think they knew it was going to and by the way, Jesse referred to it blowing off part of the mountain. Although what it really looked like is that there was like a cloaking device or hologram or something. And this just like turned, like, was this a key, and they were operating a key? Did they break the device that was doing the hologram? Like, none of that is explained.
Right.
And I find that a little bit unsatisfactory.
Yep.
And then when it comes to the whole resolution to this story, I do always love a whole, we've got to team up in some like goofy way. We've got to like figure out a way to team up and work together across some challenge. Yeah, I like that idea in principle, But in this way, they were all like, oh, you just stick this here and that there.
Yeah, you put the pieces together and then it worked. And then somehow the camera is able to detect, somehow the camera was able to cross-dimensionally detect signals or something.
So again,
I don't know about this Dr. Corby guy.
Biosignature.
So like, yeah, well, so like watching all this stuff, it's like.
Well, he's an archaeologist. They don't give a shit about, they don't care about anything. No safety protocols. All they care about is their loot. And he didn't even get his loot.
Yeah. But the thing is that this resolution, again, to this story, I was thinking about it. The solving the puzzle is not the interesting part of this episode. The interesting part of this episode is the characters interacting with each other, mm-hmm. the development, the body horror, the sci-fi ideas that are presented. But the actual solving of the puzzle wasn't that satisfying. Well,
they just put the thing on the thing.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it. Like, think about like when you rewatch Cause and Effect, or In the Pale Moonlight, yep. or remember that episode of TNG, Allegiance, where Picard is like captured and he's like being experimented on with some other people, yep. and they have to figure
Chief O'Brien!
Out figure out how to deal with that. Even when you know the solution, you're excited for when it comes, right? When at the end, you're looking forward to the end of Cause and Effect and how that story resolves itself.
Copy that.
When I watched this, I enjoyed rewatching it. I was not looking forward to the resolution. I couldn't care less about the resolution because the resolution is not that interesting.
Yeah.
Right? And I love next week's episode too, but I think it's got an acute example of a couple of resolutions where you're just like, okay, I guess that just happened.
Far from ideal.
But yeah,
it's fine. That's a style of storytelling. It's just when so much of the rest of it is so entertaining mm-hmm. and so good, and the acting is so amazing, and the dialogue is so good. So you just get a little disappointed when you're like, oh, that's how they solved it. Couldn't they have to like stand up and do like weird cross-dimensional stuff, like hold out something here and there, and make it all like make more of a challenge than just like, oh yeah, just put this there and put that there, right. and boom.
Yeah. Well, the whole
and they still had comms the whole time.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, they did. They didn't have the comms went down, didn't they?
Did they go down?
No, they could talk to each other.
They could inside.
It was like working.
They couldn't. Yeah. They couldn't. I felt like they were talking about like Spock was rightly so said we should leave and reassess, and then Corby, because he's an archaeologist who just cares about his loot, he was like, no, I want to do this now. Spock didn't say we'll quit the mission. He was just we need to reassess. But I guess Corby was scared that they'd call the mission off or something. I don't know.
Again, another confusing thing, which was peculiar given how high quality the production design. Is the way it all played out, it looked like they were arguing over not walking 30 feet to step outside.
Yeah, right. I know.
What
exactly.
the fuck was that about?
Right.
Why was there this whole big argument about policy and like the appropriate mission parameters and stuff when it was like, no, you can just like, I mean, you can just go right out there. The door is right there.
Right.
This wasn't like in TNG, they would have walked miles into a cave system and then been like, oh shit, what should we go all the way back? No, we got to forge ahead. No, there was no, it was like Spock could have almost just stuck his arm out the door and been like, no, I'll just try to get a reception right out here.
And then the Injal like ran out and they'd use that same effect, the melty effect they used to do in Discovery where they turn into ashes. And also why
that was cool.
And Injal.
On McCroon, our ancestors would sacrifice.
I think
to stand before the deities of time.
I think you have that effect on your board, actually. I think
you use
them. You've done that to us.
Some double voice. No, that's an echo.
I need my copy.
Oh my god.
I need my copy.
Oh no, that's crazy. Oh god.
That's impossible to talk.
Yeah.
Impossible. I think that might be close.
How about, it's getting closer.
It's getting closer. Yeah. It's getting closer. Closer to the voice of Injal. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. It's getting closer to the voice of Ad McCroon. Yeah. That's even better. That's even better to be the McCroon. McCroon Injal. Injal McCroon. McCroon Injal. Hey, let's go. Yeah, pick it up, let's go. It's Injal, Wait.
On McCroon, our ancestors would sacrifice to stand before the deities of time.
To stand before the deities of time. Well, if you had a way to separate, well, anyway, I think if you messed around with them enough, you'd probably, that's close. Hey, that's pretty good. That's getting there. 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 Patrick wasn't turning up a knob. I was just talking fast.
I forgot what I was going to say because, like, you just
sorry. I didn't mean
Jesse.
Jesse,
do you think our listeners would be very upset if we just like,
let's do the rest of the episode like this.
Left Dan like this.
I think I would be very upset.
Normally it's Dan.
On McCroon, our ancestors would sacrifice.
On McCroon.
To stand before the deities of time.
To stand before the deities of time. To stand before the deities of time.
Even though time has nothing to do with
time.
It.
Time. Time. Why is it that he only spoke English there? Like in the rest of it.
He did it to him.
I guess he was freaked out. I think he's
to Vistima.
Because he saw a demon.
Because
it was the whole.
He spoke English only that one time.
It's the Event Horizon thing. Which, by the way, stars Jason Isaacs. Jason Isaacs is in Event Horizon, and it's got eyeball stuff. There's a lot of eyeball stuff in Event Horizon.
Yeah, there's the eyeball. Okay, can we stop this, please?
Do you see?
Do you
see?
Can we stop with the thing? All thank right. you. I appreciate it.
All right.
I know I asked you to do it in the first. Well, now it's weird to talk like this.
Everyone appreciates
but,
it.
So the right. So yeah. The bridge thing. So I didn't understand why. Okay.
It didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense because
Spock just declared inverse causality, Indiana Jones Last Crusade bridge.
Yeah, normally what would happen is like something would happen, like some person, like a future Spock would like appear over there and press the button and that's when the bridge would appear or something like that. But why would they be able to walk on it if it's not there? I get it. It's supposed to be inverse causality, but that doesn't mean you can walk on something that isn't there. Like,
exactly.
And why does pressing the button... Like, what? It didn't make any fucking sense. And when they do this stuff, why do they have to put all their weight on the first step? Couldn't they dip their toe in and test to see? The only way we can test if this bridge is here is by jumping up onto it. And if there's no bridge, we fall to our death. It's like, no, put your hand down there and test for it.
Yeah. Or throw a tricorder down there.
Throw a tricorder, anything. And why does it appear?
Take off your pants and just toss it down.
And why? And if it only appears when the button's pressed, why did it appear after they started walking on it?
Oh. Like, they appear.
Like, there was nothing that made... What'd you say?
He said, you say appear funny.
Appear? Appear.
Appear.
Appear?
Appear.
I pee on appear. Appear on appear. Appear. Oh, no, I've got Patrick.
Sounds like you're saying appear.
Appear? Appear on appear.
All
but
the
it,
way
it,
up here.
It didn't make sense. Like, something should have... Yeah. The bridge still has to be there to walk on it.
Well, that's... And that...
Like it should have been like, so it's like Spock, like it's one of those things where Spock appears and he presses the button and makes the bridge appear, and then later Spock has to be like, oh, I gotta remember to go press that button or else it won't have happened to me before. But like, it just,
which they did it to very good effect in season 3 of Invincible.
It's wonderful.
I agree, and that buttresses my point. That buttresses my point. About this resolution being unsatisfying because it's in part confusing and somewhat simplistic. And then I was thinking, you know, we mentioned Cause and Effect, we mentioned In the Pale Moonlight, we mentioned Allegiance. Those are considered very good episodes with very cool, satisfying puzzle resolutions. But then I was thinking about it, I was like, you know what's even more interesting than this one? The Royale. Or Move Along Home.
Yeah,
who are really, those are often lambasted episodes, but the puzzle is the resolution to the puzzle is still kind of more interesting than what we see here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's a
great.
It's a disappointment. It's a fairly minor disappointment because again,
curiouser and a curiouser.
So much other stuff going for this episode, and I know it sounds like we're harping on these negatives. Of course, that's the fun stuff to talk about because the other stuff is pretty solid.
The Vesda thing. I was going to mention the Vesda. So Vesda apparently means evil, right? But if so there was the whole Battelle Gamble fight, and Battelle, her Gorn part says this. She says Vesda in there. One more time. So there's some history between the Gorn and the Vesda.
Yeah.
Now I wasn't sure if so the Vesda translates as evil, but these things are also called Vesda. So are they basically in their language, like the name for this creature is evil? Or is like, or is evil defined by the existence of these creatures?
Yeah, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, exactly.
The
right.
Chicken or the egg?
Are they called evil, or do they, or is there is the name of them just Vesta, and that became synonymous with evil? You see what I'm saying? Chicken
I
and
do.
The egg.
That is interesting.
Question. It's the question, Neo.
And you know, I will say that
this
the,
was. Oh wait, sorry. This was Temple of Doom. I didn't get the sound effect, but this was right before.
The
heart thing. I felt weird about getting that sound effect because
you mean the sound effect of the heart being pulled out, like in Temple of Doom?
When he's chanting before.
Yeah.
I don't know why I felt weird about getting that sound.
I also don't know why you felt weird
about
that. Just
because, I don't know, you know, it's just kind of a weird scene. I don't know.
Yeah, but this is an episode where a very nice fella gets his eyes burnt out by stars.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like...
Kali Kachna.
You know, the part where the guy's like, Kali Ma, Kali Ma. Yeah.
Do you think it's racist?
I don't know, is it?
It might be. I hadn't considered
I guess
that.
If I have to ask, I don't know, but I don't know, you know? It seems something maybe, because it was made
it's
early 80s.
It's important that we interrogate the media of our youth,
but
we might be clouded by nostalgia.
At the same time, I don't want to, I mean, I don't want to be tedious about it, but on the other hand, I'd rather err on the side of tedious than being an asshole, you know what I mean? So. Yeah.
What do you think about, like, Spock and, like, Leon? Like, that's probably some pretty intense shit when they're getting freaky.
All right, well, we got to take a break, and when we get back, we'll talk about Dan and I will respond to Jesse's question.
That's a teaser right there.
That is a teaser. All right, we will be right back.
We must exit, report this to the captain, and reassess.
And we've returned.
We will continue with the mission.
Hey, I came up with the new voice over the break.
Oh, you did?
This is Jesse's voice. This is how Jesse talks. Hey, Dan, my name's Jesse. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Jesse, I'm Jesse. Hey, Dan, this is Jesse, and I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't do that.
Was funnier, like, before the break.
I know, it's not as funny now. Maybe I did it better before.
Something happened. I don't know what it was.
I was out of the room. What was Jesse advising you not to do?
I was telling...
he was just making some shit up.
Yeah, and Jesse was like, I don't know, Dan. I wouldn't do that. I don't know, Dan. I've thought about it. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that, Dan. My name's Jesse.
I don't think I've ever said that to you, sir.
I don't think I would do something like that.
No, you can keep workshopping the I wouldn't do that voice.
Hey, Jesse. Hey,
Dan, what are you doing?
I don't know. I mean, Jesse, I wouldn't do that. Well, you record during the breaks, right? So maybe I can review.
In the way. All
right. I can review what I did over the break and compare it to what I just did to see if they're the same.
All right. We'll take some extra time this week.
That's some fucked up shit.
To do that. All right.
Okay, speaking of what Jesse was saying,
talking about La'an and Spock
and
getting freaky.
And the La'an at one point, I think it was her that said it, not Spock. Was it her? She says to Spock, she says, so they're talking about going deeper in, and she's like, so you lead and I'll follow. You lead, I'll follow.
Okay. Is there a point related to that?
That's a dancing thing. Like,
Curiouser and curiouser.
I think that was La'an that said that, not Spock, but one of them said it.
Yeah. I like the curiouser and curiouser because that's a classic.
Alice
in Wonderland, but also Spock is.
Well, it's Alice in the Alice Adventures or something. I don't know if it's specifically.
The Adventures of Alice in Wonderland?
I don't think it's specifically
that.
The Looking Glass?
Yeah, it's that.
Yes.
It's from Alice. Yeah, it's not. It's,
that's the other
it's
one.
It's the Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
Yes.
So not Alice in Wonderland. Alice.
Yes, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
Which is different than what you said. Yeah. It's just saying it's different.
But there's variations on the tale that have been made adjustments.
But
to
this
title.
Was the original.
Yeah.
I appreciate it's not that simple.
I appreciate that. Okay. So,
fear into that sort of thing.
Yeah, fear into that sort of thing.
Talking about Spock and La'an, we touched based on this last
week. The freaky
week.
Underground hellhole gets even freakier.
You know how it gets freakier? Because exactly. Spock and La'an, they get.
Well,
yeah.
I'm just saying. I bet it's really intense.
It's tricky. It's tricky because on the one hand, there is clear chemistry between these two characters. It's believable.
All the
dance stuff is believable. You can buy into the fact that they have some sort of shared personality traits, some shared experiences. There's reasons why you could buy them liking each other, forming a relationship, friends with
friends. Make it weird.
Whatever it is, right? That's fine. I'm not that, I continue to not be that excited about, like, okay, Spock's just now Spock's dealing with more potential heartbreak. And now it's causing trouble between La'an and Chapel. And it's that's like,
I mean,
very non, it's definitely failing the Bechdel test, having these very capable and powerful, smart female characters who are now, they're all wrapped up in Spock because Spock's so hot, and we all agree. Right.
And I'm just, and in general, I'm just not super into the idea of spending too much time on this, on the relationship stuff. Like, TNG did it pretty well because every once in a while, like, you knew there was something going on between Troy and Riker, but they didn't really talk about it that much. Right. Every once in a while, they do it.
Undercurrent.
Yeah, it was an undercurrent, and then the Worf thing happened.
That
and
was kind of silly.
But, I mean, even that wasn't, like, so... I mean, it was a little bit... They did step it up a little bit with that. And then, I guess DS9 stepped it up even more with Dax and Worf.
But, again, like, that kind of worked.
Like, when they went to the beach. They went to the beach, and Worf was being all...
The riser,
he was being all grumpy.
That's a real... By the way, that that episode... what is it? Paradise? I forget what it's called.
No, did we do that one?
No, we haven't done that one
yet. Could it have been sentient?
Why am I forgetting what it's called? Anyway, the one where...
What was that?
Where Worf does some terrorist stuff and somehow does not go to jail. Yeah. It's a peculiar episode of Deep Space Nine.
Blood magic.
Pervert.
But in this case, I was worried going into this episode when I saw the preview. The preview showed that these people get paired off in these... There's the one potential romantic connection between Beto and Uhura.
Which is so far, like, flirtatious, but so far it seems like they're becoming good friends. Yeah.
And then you have these two potential romantic rivals in terms of Spock being paired up with Corby. And
I knew you'd have to come down and see this all for yourself.
Some of which are actually on the artifact you found among the dead.
And Chapel being paired up with Laan. And with this conversation they have at the beginning of the episode, you think they're going to set up a sitcom style. They're going to have trouble.
Communication misunderstanding?
They're going to have to work. Well, not even that.
Three's Company style?
They're going to have to... No, not like that. They're going to have to work through their bitterness with each other, their jealousy,
The one where they're locked in a room together and they have to work their shit out.
That kind of thing. But they didn't do that. And on the one hand, I credit them with not doing that. On the other hand, it's almost like, well, then why'd you set up these people?
So they could have a puzzle to solve that wasn't really... It felt a little forced, like the whole dimensional thing. I mean, they had the heaving backgrounds that made it look like an acid trip, but like...
It was very Cube. You remember that movie Cube?
Yeah, I actually kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, Cube is great. 1997. Nicole DeBoer is in it. Ezri Dax is in Cube.
Hell yeah.
This shared a lot with Cube. We talked about the Indiana Jones. We talked about Ghostbusters. We talked about, what was the other one we talked about? Oh, Event Horizon. Yeah. But very Cube.
So far
Cube.
We have those three. We have
and Cube.
We have Alien. Past episodes, Alien. Gorn, Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead.
I'm sorry.
A lot of media references, which is fine. Movies. But this was very much like building on that Cube because for those who aren't familiar, Cube is a Canadian produced thriller in which some people get trapped in a bunch of... They have to sort of navigate through a series of similar-looking rooms and solve puzzles along the way. And it's pretty fucked up.
There were several Cube movies, and the first one...
I didn't watch any of the others.
I enjoyed all of them. Like, the first one was the best, but, like, I found something to like about all of them. Even though they weren't as good, I was like...
The concept is well-suited to totally, repetition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, it's true. It is. Good point. Yeah. Well, good point. Well, there you That's go. A good point, Patrick.
I've done my work for the evening.
Yes. Yeah, it's quite.
Goodbye. Bye, everyone.
But it's just we don't need to spend so much time on Spock's love life, really. Yeah. I mean, I guess they're making...
Just a side note.
I mean, I guess it's fascinating to have, like... It's
fascinating. Click the...
Fascinating. Fascinating. Top-notch science.
I mean, I understand the draw of, like, you know, a Vulcan, a logical Vulcan, exploring what it's like for a Vulcan to have, like... love life, you know,
Vulcans
what,
are intense,
and what that means for a Vulcan, but it's like we don't need to go that far into it. We don't have to keep harping on it because then it just comes like the Spock's love life show, you know. And so it's like they could have more stuff, maybe a little more rounded.
But Jesse earlier was talking about this Corby being a little bit shady, and Dan, of course, I agree with your point, Dan, about Corby's intensity is in relationship to his being passionate about being an archaeologist. Very typical.
Well, that's always the case.
Just like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it's like, who cares about the danger? I'll sacrifice everyone just so I can get my neat toy.
But
they didn't even get his toy.
But This all, of course, makes sense and is a very good building of this foundation because, and no spoilers, but for those who know,
no spoilers.
If you've seen TOS, if you've seen What Are Little Girls Made Of,
what are they made of, Patrick?
We learn what happens to Dr. Corby down the line.
Yeah,
and we're seeing hints now of connecting the character we're watching in Strange New Worlds, how we can imagine he becomes the character that we see in TOS, because there is there's an evolution there that we need to follow, and so I am enjoying that, and I'm sure we're going to see more hints of the darker, more aggressive, and single-minded side of Corby as the season goes on.
Corby, you know, when Gamble, like, you know, grabbed that containment unit and was like looking into it, you know, and then La'an was all like,
"Careful,"
you know. And then it exploded in his face anyway. Like, why did they even have her say careful? You know what I hate? You know what I don't like? You know what I dislike? You know what I'm not fond of? I'm trying not to hate things. I'm trying to be not hateful. I'm not a hateful person, I don't think.
I
gotta be careful about using the word hate. So you know what I would prefer? We're different. Everybody around me should be just like me. When you're moving some shit, right? Like you're moving
furniture,
and like and the person carrying it with you just keeps going, "Careful, careful, careful."
Yeah, it's like,
what do you think I'm fucking doing?
It's like, you're right.
What do you think I'm fucking doing?
Watch out for the stove. It's like,
Well, like, I mean, even that's better than when they just say, "Careful, careful, careful."
It's like, yes, I'm gonna be careful because, like, I'm gonna drop it right here.
Yeah, it's like
drop it on my fucking toe.
It's like, don't tell me what to do. If you have any ideas on how to go about doing it, I'm all ears. So don't say be careful, but maybe say something like, "Oh, there's this unexpected step right here. Be careful about that step that you may not have seen." I'm like, great, thank you. But just to, like, when you're putting something down and they just keep saying, "Careful, careful, careful, careful." It's like, oh my God, dude. Like, that's not making me more careful. That's making me less careful, because now all I can focus on is how annoying you are being to me.
It's making me hate you,
dude. Yeah, I know, hate. There's that word. It's making me hate you. Why do you make me hate?
Hate you.
It's not my fault that I hate. It's your fault for being different. For being something other than me.
I think you might be hanging out with the wrong sort of people, Dan.
It's funny because it's...
I'm not sure.
Oh, Dan, you mentioned earlier.
I'm sorry. The point was is that Lon said careful. It blew up in his face anyway. She did. Like, why did they even have her say careful? Uh-huh. Like, just to warn us that something was going to... Was it supposed to warn us that something was going to happen? Like, why even bother her saying careful? I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
But what does matter is earlier when you were trying to derail me, perhaps inadvertently.
Oh, where?
I was in the middle of a point. And then you just blurted out, no, this is much earlier. Remember, I was talking about something and then it just randomly, you were just like, "Why was there Chinese on the artifact?" Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
But I'm bringing it back up.
I'm being a hypocrite.
It is, because it is an important question, because again, it's in a series
before
of things.
Before or after we said to pull out?
In a series of under-explained things in this episode, they're like, okay, there's Chinese written. Yeah. It says some shit. We're not going to examine that at all. We're not going to make any other reference to it. Unless we're meant to understand that in seeking immortality, this alien race opened the portal to hell. And by the way, the other evidence there is, remember when the infected, inhabited, possessed Gamble kills the guard.
Evidence!
He first grabs the guard and is like, well, he tricks the guard by saying, like, telling the guard something about your mom.
I'm your mommy.
Now, underexplained. Is that saying that the demon has access to the world of the dead and that guy's mom is there and he talks to the world's mom?
Who knows?
Or is he saying that he's psychic and can read the mind of the guard? I don't know. Yeah. It would be helpful to know which power this spirit inhabiting Gamble has. We don't know.
No. Relax.
Okay, I
will take a breath.
You're right.
Stay calm.
I should
be. Easy.
I'm a little worked up by that. Because again,
you're absolutely right.
I know I keep harping on this, saying like I did enjoy the episode, but now as I'm discussing, I'm like, man, there's a lot of like confusing shit that just sort of doesn't hold together.
Pretty much, dude.
It just goes to show how engaging these actors are to really make me continue to have a good time watching this story when there's a lot of stuff in there that's a little goofy.
After that orb blew up in Gamble's face, later on, Spock picks up those like X-ray specs or those space specs. you know, those glasses that lets him...
The big wide. I like that it was clearly for a much larger type of, different type of head.
Yeah, it looked funny. He looked like he was at like the masquerade ball or whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess it was, they were like universe demon specs or something like that. I don't know. But like, he kind of put that orb up to his face as well.
Yeah.
And like, didn't they just learn from what happened to Gamble that you don't put that orb up to your face? Because it didn't blow up in his face. But it could have, but he did have those glasses on.
I think
on.
He's a risk taker, baby.
But it still, like, created that fucking creature. That,
yeah, I know, right? Which, again, I wasn't clear. That creature even looked a little Gornish. I'm sure it wasn't meant to be,
but there were
some similarities to it. Is it related to the Gorn? I don't know.
Yeah, so and I hope they follow up on, like, why the Gorn have this relationship with the Vesda. I hope that pans out, because if they don't pan that out, I'll be frustrated.
I hope it pans out in an interesting way.
Because when it started...
You had to write an angry letter.
When it happened, I will. I'll write a super angry letter. I'll be so mad, I'll use the word...
angry email.
I'll use the word hate. No, I won't. I wouldn't do that.
I hate you, Paramount Plus.
I hate you guys. You're stupid. And sometimes you capitalize "of" in the title.
I don't. I would never do that.
Sucks, dude.
No, you wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that either.
None of you guys would do that.
Goodness.
But when the fight was happening between Battelle and Gamble, I wasn't sure what was going on in that. I was like, oh, is she possessed somehow by this demon now too? Is that what's going on?
Right,
I didn't even put it together that there was some kind of Gorn connection until Pike mentioned it later. I was like, oh, okay. I'm just dumb, but that didn't even occur to me at the time.
I
was confused.
I did get that it was her Gorn genes doing something, but I found that whole aspect really confusing. I'm assuming, I'm positive.
Because she has some kind of genes in her. Now it means she has all these memories of Gorn.
They
instincts.
They put this in for a reason. Presumably it's relevant to her season-long arc, but I did not like this part. So, it took me out of the story. It was like, okay, now they're just having this weird flying around battle.
Yeah, right. Why? Yeah, why are they fighting?
What's the point? Why can't he just continue to kill guards and doctors and stuff
isn't
like that?
This Gorn, if the Gorn has a hatred with the Vesda, wouldn't this be like memory experience-based? Why would that transfer through genes or whatever? Is that what they did? They gave her the genes of a Gorn? Specifically
the genes of the Gorn were already incorporated into her as part of the Gorn.
Yeah,
they just made them coexist.
Yeah. So well, no, because like the whole thing is Pike was like, no, don't do this because it'll make her Gorny.
But it'll also make her dead to not do it. The point was, is you can't not do it.
But you, Jesse, you were just saying that she was already Gorny. They just made the Gorn coexist. So I'm confused. Like she already had the Gorn genes in it, so it's not
they
like
killed the eggs. That normally what happens is the process happens, the eggs burst and you die because of it.
But they melted them. Yeah.
But they melted the eggs, but they weren't able to get rid of what was already done.
So she already had Gorny genes in her.
Exactly.
So what did they add to her? Why was Pike so against them adding shit to her if she already had the genes?
No, that's not the issue. The issue is that normally she would have been killed, but by giving Una's genetically super blood, which prevents infections and stuff, all the stuff that normally would kill somebody for having that, it tamped it down.
Yeah, I know, I get.
But it didn't get rid of the genes.
Okay, I get
it. It wasn't
a
cure.
But like I'm saying, like Pike was against the process. Why would he be against that process?
Because it's so illegal.
No, he was
just being stupid because everyone was explaining to him that there was no choice. Either she dies or she doesn't.
But I mean, the Pike seemed like he was angry because it made it seem like he was saying like, oh, you're...
Yeah, because they had to get that special
flower. No, because he was saying like, oh, you're making her more Gorny is what he was how he was expressing it, but they weren't making her more Gorny.
No,
but
that's wrong.
But that's what Pike seemed to think.
Yeah, but Pike is not the cleverest guy when it comes to this.
Well, I'm just saying that's kind of what the impression that Pike put across.
But we talked about it in the shuttle to Kinforey.
But point is like she had Gorn genes. That's not going to give you memories of Gorn hatred for Vesda unless there's some kind of a priori understanding between the Vesda and Gorn.
100%. This was like a confusing, another confusing part of the episode. But this this is the one that at the beginning, like from the beginning, I did not enjoy this bit.
For real, dude.
I don't know. I thought it was a little ridiculous. Again,
ridiculous.
Always allowing for the possibility that retroactively it makes more sense or it becomes more acceptable. That does happen not infrequently in Star Trek, but. Yeah, that put me off just like a little bit.
I know I said this already, but I did like when those deflector beams came down from the even though it was a confusing scene.
Oh no,
to
that was cool.
Thing, watching,
well,
like,
it
watching,
looked cool.
Yeah, because it's because it's so high up in the sky and those beams just came down immediately. Like,
right. Yeah, because you weren't sure exactly what was happening at first, and you're like, oh, okay, what the fuck?
Now, Dan, question for you:
Why was Corby going to cut himself on the palm when he could have cut himself on the arm instead? Remember when they were trying to enter the thing and you needed and it had
blood magic.
Remember, and he was going to give him blood by cutting the palm of his hand. Why do they always?
They should have just stabbed him in the heart.
Why in movies and shows when they have to cut themselves to give blood? Why do they always cut the palm of your hand? You do shit with the palm of your head. You're going to get an infection by that because you're always touching things with the palm of your hand.
Where should you cut?
Have you
your fingers?
Have you just
gone? They got a hypo spray. You could just pull some blood out with a hypo spray.
Or even just cut your forearm if that's not possible. For some reason, but point is,
or rip a tooth out with pliers.
Rip a tooth out.
Have you ever?
How about some nose?
Have you ever gotten a cut on your hand? It makes doing shit difficult, and it sucks. So why do we in movies are they always like, we're gonna make a blood thing, and it's like, okay, let's cut the palm of our hands. Like,
how about
cut
your
butt?
Arm. Cut your butt.
No, do you see me, Jesse? Do you see me?
Do you see?
Do you see me right now, Jesse?
Do you see?
Do you see me?
I think so.
He sees you. Dan, question.
Blood magic.
Convert.
Did you happen...
Enterprise.
Did you happen to get the clip of La'an saying...
Probably not.
The door.
No. Why? What, did she say the door funny?
At one point, she's. I thought you were going to do the door...
Oh, shit.
A duck.
Oh,
no. That was clever.
Because there's like a very isolated... She's like, the door.
The Borg.
Like, yeah. Or the Borg. The door.
The Borg.
Something
the Borg.
For next week.
The bee.
A duck.
Yeah. That's the door. A duck.
That's clever, Patrick. I can't believe I've missed out. Yeah, that was. I wish I had done that now. I wish. See, if we could, like, go into inverse upside down causality, like, we could, like, go do that. Like, I could have the sound effect now by walking across an invisible bridge.
Indeed.
All right, so we're running out of time, and
we're not.
Yeah, we definitely want to have time to be able to get all our little odds and ends and bits
Chapel,
and bobs.
Oh yeah. When they cut the hand, the blood magic part, and then like Chapel like berated him. He's like, "Don't be so silly and jumping. Can don't do we need to like take it up to the thing and the
take a moment before we choose the dramatic option."
That was me vamping until I found the sound.
Oh, okay. I was confused. I just thought something had gone terribly wrong. That was going to be one of those. Oh man,
your brain is dead.
It's like, do we call the ambulance now, or do we wait until we're done recording?
Yeah. So she, but then she proceeded to put her hand in this thing. Yeah. She had no idea what it was going to do.
Yeah, maybe it would chop off her hand.
And it came down. Yeah, and it came down and hit her with some nasty old needle. Now, granted, they did check her for tetanus or whatever.
Where's that needle been?
Yeah, exactly. They did check her afterwards to make sure. Like, there was a line that said, like,
I should hope so.
There was a line afterwards where I think it was. Someone said, I can't remember who was like, it looks like you're okay. But like, yeah, like, you don't just
Gamble, he was like, there's no foreign stuff in you.
Yeah, so maybe Gamble. In the future they don't worry about like dirty needles or something, but like, you're going to berate this guy for cutting his hand and then you're shoving, at least Corby knew where that knife's been. That's all I'm saying.
Precisely.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
That is...
Wait a my whole life for a find like this.
Are you sure that's all you're saying?
Samadhanans.
No.
No, please.
No!
No.
No, 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 no.
No, no, please. No, no, please. No, please.
No.
Heck no.
Some bits and bobs.
There's a lot of no's in this episode. I'm sorry.
I wish they didn't speed up the transport so much. Like, I get why they're not doing transports that are as slow as TOS.
Mm.
TOS does have pretty slow transports, but their transporters, they're like almost as fast as like the 25th century ones on Picard.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I know you want to get to the story, and I, as I said earlier, I'm cool with them making adjustments, but that, Dan, if you're wondering like the kind of thing that aggravates me, that's not a plot thing. That's more of like a style.
Yeah.
It's like, you're saving a second to like not have it be a, like a little bit of
so
a longer.
So you're
transporter.
Saying like you would be okay with that if the payoff was greater?
Because I like that through the course of Star Trek, they've made the transport shorter shorter as time has gone on. But this is a prequel,
but
so it's It's annoying.
No, I know, I get that, but like, also, it's a prequel, so why can they regenerate eyes in the prequel but not in the future? And you're saying that it's okay in this episode because it's got a better payoff, meaning like the eyes played more into the plot.
It had a plot purpose. So short transporter has no plot purpose.
So if the short transporter in some universe had more of a plot payoff, you'd be okay with it.
No, that's purely an aesthetic. They're like, now. Yeah,
but
I'm saying,
but
thing.
If it had more payoff, you might be more accepting.
Yeah,
of it.
It's just what's the pay? Like what they had had a.
I don't know. What
they used to have good transporters, and then they slowed down.
I don't know.
And then they got good again.
But that isn't a good. That I'm glad you brought
that's
that up.
I'm
glad you brought that up because that is an example of when I don't know why you're okay with something and why you're not okay with something. Corby's trying all the tricks when they're trying to like when Spock's like, we should leave this place. First,
fun times with Spock.
First he goes to Spock. Corby goes, this is Chapel's mission, so she decides whether or not we go, right? Then Lon's like, and that's his excuse. And then Lon's like, well, actually, Spock is the one who decides that. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, I don't answer Starfleet anyway. it's like, you don't use different excuses. Pick one excuse, go with it, and if it doesn't work, tough shit. You don't then go back on it and say, like, you have to listen because she's in charge. It's like, well, no, she's not. Well, it's like, well, I don't listen to that anyway, you know?
But that's evidence of... Oh, no, I forgot. Yes. Evidence.
Evidence!
There we go. That's evidence of...
Evidence!
Of the foundation of his personality that we're going to see. We're going to see where that type of philosophy, where that type of personality takes him in the future.
Zombies?
Because he isn't all... hearts and butterflies or whatever.
Zombies?
Whatever.
Zombie movie.
Other stuff, cool. Blood blood on the white uniforms is good. Like everything with Gamble was really upsetting.
It was.
Chris Myers, who plays Gamble, he's so good at this. He's so good at being simultaneously competent but naive and exciting and nice and kind, and but then he gets to play this evil monster character. I'm very impressed. And then I did like seeing.
Do you think it was something wearing her skin?
All the blood on him was creepy. When Dr. Mbenga's like, your brain is your brain is dead. That was
your
creepy.
Brain is dead.
That was super creepy. So that was excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said though,
something that drank her tears and fed off her scream.
Yeah.
Drank her tears and fed off her scream.
So like, yeah, I don't.
It was a little much.
It seemed like they leaned into it because it sounded really creepy. Yeah. It's just, I don't know.
We don't know enough about the
background.
We
don't know enough about, like, yeah, what's these things are. That's why I wish they focused. It would mean more if they focused more on these demon creatures, you know? But they split it between the time puzzle, the interdimensional puzzle, with a little bit of time at the end with the bridge, and then this. So I kind of wanted them to spend more time on one or the other. But if they come back to this later and they explain it more later, then I can be happier with it, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
I did, you know, so the second watch through, I really paid attention to that line where Pike says to Mbenga, if anyone's going to help him, it's going to be you.
Yes.
It's like, well, no, it didn't work out. I guess nobody was able to help him.
Right, right.
And that guy was fucked.
I made that point too, because he's like, Benga's like, he wasn't ready for away missions, and then Pike's like, you know more than most, we can't protect everyone. Like, that's a really nice thing to say.
Yes.
And then Pike goes, if anyone's going to help him, it's going to be you. And it's like, is that really helpful? Because Benga's already doubting his ability because he was like, I shouldn't have let him do it. Yeah, he's already doubting his ability. Now he's being told that he's their best bet. I understand what he's saying. He's giving him confidence. He's like, you can do it, Mbenga. But at the same time, saying like, you're the only one that can help him is like not exactly what you want to hear after you just made what you consider to be a big mistake.
Agreed.
I don't know. That's just me. Yeah. Did you hear the funny, that apparently in the future, their the flashlights sound like beep boops?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Nope.
That was not,
that's not a flashlight.
That was not a flashlight.
That's a terrible demon monster.
No, this is a future flashlight sound. That's how flashlights sound in the future.
That's kind of cute. Yeah, I did. I love the sound design on this show. Especially with like the communicators, like real TOS-y.
I wish our flashlights now sounded like...
I mean, it's probably something we could figure out with like an Arduino or something.
Yeah. You know what that was?
Arduino parties.
Do you know what this is?
Is that... fella trying to run out the door and getting lasers at.
Did you say fella?
Yeah, whatever. Fella. I can't remember the fella's name.
I just think it was
my
funny.
Balls all over your face.
Yeah, that. It was that. Yeah, that was in Jaw getting Discovery melted. Yeah.
I do like the character design for those aliens.
That was really, he was pretty cool looking. Really I thought it was cool.
You let me die alone.
Right.
You let me die alone.
Any last
you
points?
You let me die alone. You let me die alone.
Any last points before we just talk about emails and websites and all that other stuff?
Lanthanite child. What was that? Was that Paleo's Lanthanite child or something?
Well, she's a Lanthanite.
A Lanthanite. And she was like, Lanthanite child.
Yes, because she's so young. Because the gag with Lanthanites is they're super old. She's like 5,000 years old. And he's saying you're a child. So that's implying that these guys are even older. So, okay. Yeah. That's fine. That's cool.
The sublethal terazine is sublethal. I'm curious.
No, she's asking for what's the sublethal dose of terazine because she was joking about drugging her boss.
Is that really what the line? The exact line was.
Yeah, that was the line. He was saying.
She goes, "How
Pike is going to be in trouble?" She was like, "I'll drug him."
She goes, "Hyper." Yeah, yeah. She's like, "How much terazine is sublethal?" Right. Yeah. Sublethal meaning like so she can knock him out without killing him. Yeah. That was the joke. Yeah,
knock him out super hard.
It's sublethal. You don't want to go super lethal. You want to go sublethal.
Ideally. Yeah.
Yeah, ideally. Need to know more about the demons. I guess. Spock sure took a gamble by putting that containment unit up to his face like Gamble did earlier.
Yeah. Oh no.
Good. This line would have worked better when you actually referenced that action earlier. Okay. Well, we gotta close things down.
Sword in the transport buffer.
Okay, so that's been It's Got Star
Guys,
Trek.
This is great. There's so much to learn here, but it's time to go.
Probably sounds like we're a little down on that episode. I really did enjoy it. Like, both times I watched it, and I do look forward to seeing it again in the future. Just some confusing bits and bobs there. It's like, you know what it is?
No.
It's a classic example of, like, it's almost amazing. Mm. It's just good. It's almost amazing. It's just, if they could have, like, shaved off a few of these rough edges, it could really be a true classic episode.
Yeah. Did you notice how Corby was worried that Starfleet was going to embarrass him in front of his friends?
Yeah.
And then, like, Mbango was afraid that Gamble, quote unquote, he was afraid that Gamble was going to embarrass him in front of the crew.
Was he afraid of that?
He was he was joking around. He wasn't actually, he was like, just don't embarrass me.
I got you. That was just playful.
That was just playful. But it was too, yeah, he goes like, just don't embarrass me with Dr. Corby. But then Dr. Corby was afraid that Starfleet was going to embarrass him too. So, Corby didn't want to be embarrassed in front of the planet people, and Mbanga didn't want to be embarrassed in front of Corby. See, it all comes together.
Not really.
It does.
So
it does.
Next week we'll
it's
be
all
talking
like a big
about,
loop.
Next week we'll be talking about the Saylot that ate its tail. Everyone's going to be excited to talk about this episode.
What was that?
Kirk comes back. Kirk stuff.
It was all a big circle, is what I said earlier.
In the meantime,
the bulbous oculi were ejected from their orbital socket.
If you'd like to interact with us, you can email us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. You can send us a voicemail at itsgotstartrek.com/record.
Pervert.
Review. Find us all over social media at It's Got Star Trek. And
Captain, we're going to need a bigger landing party.
Just like Elena did.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. If you would like to get your own custom haiku, write a review. Apple Podcast is probably ideal, but honestly, anywhere you write a review,
you get an FU.
Write the review. Then let us know that you wrote the review, and then we'll write you a haiku.
What?
So you can also check us out on YouTube,
Achoo.
Facebook, all that jazz.
Careful.
All right, we will talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
They're gone.
Ah, great. Crewmates. I don't have to go into the briefing alone. I interrupted something, didn't I?
Star Trek 57, M23, take 2.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.